Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and today is November 22, 2019. And I am sitting here with Dr. Don and Rick, and we are just about ready to start our program entitled The Bible on Trial. This program is all about the truth. It is about repairing a wound. It is about learning how to cut out a tumor, and that tumor is lies. And it can be painful, as Don has pointed out time and time again. No one changes their mind without pain. And so what we do here at Spirit of Truth Ministry on the Bible on Trial, and also on the revelation of Jesus on Saturdays, on Sabbath, is that we point out where the tumor is located and what that tumor is and how to do the surgery that is required to eliminate that from your lives and replace it with the truth. So let's have prayer, and we'll get started. Oh, by the way, I have a chat room up if you'd care to chat in with your comments or questions. Also, there is located our websites, both of our websites, spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, sometimes life is hard. Well, let's put it this way. All the time life is hard. But it is more content, and we are happier when we are living the truth because we know the truth. The problem, Father, is that everyone who lives on this earth believes that they have the truth, and this is just simply not the case. You have put Spirit of Truth Ministry on this earth in order to show people the way to the kingdom. And I pray, Father, that you will reveal that to us in a continuing stream until that moment when we realize that we are indeed in the kingdom of God and that we can go to work with full knowledge of the truth in this world. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. And welcome, everyone, to what I hope will be for you a revealing, eye-opening, and mind-changing for those of you whose minds have not ever changed. Process. Study. Many people, most people that I talk to about the truth are suffering from a condition, if you pardon the pun, that is explained by a river in Egypt.
Oh, gosh. In denial.
Denial.
Denial. Oh, gosh. And it's not that I haven't heard that before, but it's still funny every time I hear it.
Denial. Denial can be a terminal condition. Yes, Dennis?
We're up denial without a paddle.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we are doing here is giving people the paddle.
Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. The word that was addressed to Jeremiah by Yahweh: speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Tell them, Yahweh, the God of Israel, says this: cursed be the man who will not listen to the words of this covenant, which I ordained for your ancestors when I brought them out of the furnace of iron, out of the land of Egypt. Listen to my voice, I told them. Carry out all my orders. Then you shall be my people, and I will be your God.
What was that text again? I'm sorry.
Jeremiah chapter 11, 1 through 8.
Okay.
To confirm the oath I swore to your fathers, that I would give them a land where milk and honey flow, as it still does today. I replied, Yahweh, I will. Then Yahweh said to me, proclaim all this in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the words of this covenant and obey them. For when I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, I solemnly warned them and have persistently warned them until today. Listen to my voice. But they did not listen, did not pay attention. Everyone followed the dictates of his own evil heart. So I fulfilled against them all the words of this covenant, which I had ordained for them to obey, and which they had not obeyed.
You know, I mean, really, what do you say? The problem with this is, Rick, as you are well aware, this is in the Old Testament. And you know as well as I do, by the way, for our listening audience, I am being facetious. You know as well as I do that once Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected, everything that was instructed to Israel in the Old Testament went by the wayside. And all we now need to do is listen and believe the words of Paul, that the only thing we need to do is understand we are saved by grace through faith. And that is enough to get us into the kingdom of God for eternity with our sin.
And that is denial.
And that is denial. There's the river for you. It's a river of lies.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Do not imagine that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete them. I tell you solemnly, till heaven and earth disappear, not one dot, not one little stroke shall disappear from the law until its purpose is achieved. Control of the narrative is what the evil one works hardest to accomplish. He has endeavored throughout eons to control the narrative. His narrative is nothing but lies. Oh, carefully crafted lies. Lies spoken with force to make them feel like they are the truth.
Authority. Spoken with authority.
Spoken with authority, like the idiot who gaveled yesterday at the end of the impeachment hearing. No one is above the law. Bam! He must have been looking in the mirror when he said that. No one is above the law. That is absolutely true. But to those whose practice is unlawful, that is above, below, beyond the law. Those whose practice is unlawful, to them, that is their law. That is the way they operate. In the impeachment hearings, the only charge that was made was that the president did not go through the usual channels. Christianity is a very big body of believers that is all around the world. And most Christians can tell you what they believe and why they believe it. They can tell you what the standard of belief is. The standard of belief is faith. Faith. Faith that allows you to believe a lie as if it were the truth without accountability. Because what the Son of God did when he died and rose from the grave was that he freed everyone from the works of the law, which means he freed everyone who believes they are free from obeying the law. Even though what I just read are his words, not the least dot or the smallest mark will pass from the law until all this is accomplished. And it's not all accomplished. Well, he's just talking to the Jews. So you mean to tell me that God let the Jews break the law for 1,500 years? They broke the law. They did not keep the covenant. I just read to you out of Jeremiah his charge, that from the time he brought them out of Egypt until the time that he had Jeremiah telling them, informing them, that they had not listened. They had turned their backs on him. They were not keeping the law. They were not following the covenant. They were not obeying God. And that if they did not change their ways and become obedient, they were going to lose their place in the land, and they would be taken to a foreign land of a people they did not know. And that happened. Why? Why did it happen? Why did the northern kingdom lose to the Assyrian army and be dispersed throughout the world? Why did the southern kingdom, Judah, lose to the Babylonian army and be taken into captivity in Babylon? Why? Daniel tells us why. Daniel knew the reason why. In Daniel 9, verse 4, O Lord, great and to be feared, you keep the covenant and have kindness for those who love you and keep your commandments. We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly. We have betrayed your commandments and your ordinances and turned away from them. Daniel knew why they were in captivity. In Matthew chapter 21, is a parable. A parable of the wicked husbandman. Starting with verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a man, a landowner, who planted a vineyard and fenced it around, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went abroad. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his produce. Now, what the requirements were for the tenants on the land and the vineyard was that when vintage time, harvest time, came, was when they paid the lease. The lease was the fruit of the vine. Of course, this is all in spiritual terms. Now, one thing I want you to see is that these are tenants. These have no ownership in this land at all. They have to pay a lease. They are required to pay. If it was their own land, they would not have to pay. That is why that is another proof that the land of Israel did not belong to the people. They were tenants in the land. when they first walked across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, God told Moses, they are not entering the land because they are worthy of it. They are not entering the land as owners. The only reason that he was allowing them to enter the land was because God always keeps his promises, and he had promised Abraham that his descendants would have the land as to live in. Back to Matthew chapter 21. But the tenants seized his servants, thrashed one, killed another, and stoned a third. Next he sent some more servants, this time a larger number, and they dealt with them the same way. Finally he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come on, let us kill him and take over his inheritance. So they seized him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They, and that they are the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Judah. They answered, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will deliver the produce to him when the season arrives. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, it was the stone rejected by the builders that became the keystone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. I tell you, then, that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. When they heard his parables, the chief priests and scribes realized he was speaking about them. But though they would have liked to arrest him, they were afraid of the crowds who looked on him as a prophet. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Is it a land or is it a people? I've used the example of the myth legend of Odin and Thor and Asgard. Asgard was the city where Odin lived, and it was his capital city, a la Jerusalem. And his son, Thor, and there was an evil sister. And the evil sister made was freed from the imprisonment where she was, and she came out and tried to exert her authority. And to make a long story short, this is called Ragnarok. She utterly and completely destroyed Asgard, the city. Burned it down to the ground, nothing but ashes, totally destroyed. The people were saved. They got into spacecraft. And as they were leaving Asgard in the spacecraft, one person was looking out the window back down at the city in ruins and flames and crying. And Thor asked why she was crying. She said, well, the city is destroyed. Asgard is gone. It is no more. And Thor, who had heard this from his father, said, Asgard is not a place. It's a people. Wherever the people of Asgard are, there Asgard is. When you pray the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer, the prayer that the Son of God taught his disciples to pray, after the opening, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. What does that mean? Your kingdom come. Father, I hope that you will build a kingdom here on earth with dwellings that will include a place for me, a holy city like Jerusalem, where I can move to and live. But like in the movie, what you need to realize is the kingdom of God is not a place. It is a people. The people that were supposed to go through the sanctification process, be cleansed of all the lies that they had been taught in Egypt, and that they were continually reinforced by their religious leaders in the wilderness, never, ever changed. They were what they always had been. Idol worshippers, practitioners of evil. Oh, now they knew there was another God, and they knew it was the God of their fathers, and they knew he had certain requirements, but those requirements just never really appealed to them. They never incorporated the requirements into their intellect. Some did, a few, but not the whole. In order for the kingdom of God to come to earth, the people that he chose needed to complete the sanctification process and become holy. In fact, not in faith, holy in fact. Once they were holy, the kingdom of God had come. It was here, but that never happened. So what the king did was the king said, no longer are you going to have any more time to complete the sanctification process because you have reached the point at which no amount of time will ever be enough for you to change.
The word that comes to my mind on that is the word recalcitrant, which is based on calcium, which is a very hard material. If you get that stuff calcified, right. If you get that stuff in your arteries, you're in a world of hurt. Calcification can kill you.
So when he said to them, the kingdom of God is taken away from you, they didn't even have it.
No.
They didn't have the kingdom. What they had was the covenant and the law. They had the covenant, the law. They had the prophets that were telling them that they were not keeping the covenant, they were not keeping the law, they were not following what God had given to them to obey. Why? Because the devil had convinced them that that was not necessary. So what did he do? He says, he was going to give it to a people who would accomplish it, who would bring the kingdom here. In fact, that's how the kingdom of God comes here, is when people come to the realization and then put into practice the will of God. And the will of God is the truth. In John chapter 8, starting with verse 31, to the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free? Free from what? Free from the world. You will be in the world, but not of the world. Just as God took Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, in the wilderness where they were to learn about him, where they were to demonstrate obedience to him, to keep the covenant, to follow what he said. That way they would be his kingdom, and they would enter the land as heirs and not tenants. They answer, we are descended from Abraham, and we've never been the slaves of anyone. What do you mean? You will be made free. Jesus replied, I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave. Now, a slave's place in the house is not assured. Now, the house here is the kingdom. But the son's place is assured. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are descended from Abraham, but in spite of that, you want to kill me because nothing I say has penetrated into you. What I, for my part, speak of is what I have seen with my Father. But you put into action the lessons learnt from your Father. They repeated, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do as Abraham did. As it is, you want to kill me when I tell you the truth, as I learnt it from God. That is not what Abraham did. What you are doing is what your father does. We were not born of prostitution," they went on. "We have one father, God." Jesus answered, "If God were your father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent, and by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. The devil is your father, and you prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he's drawing from his own store because he is a liar and the father of lies. But as for me, I speak the truth, and for that very reason, you do not believe me. Can any one of you convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? A child of God listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not God's children."
Wow. I'm going to go ahead and make a little allusion here, not allusion, but I'm going to make a comparison. The word for indeed, when it says you will be free indeed, is from Strong's G3689, ontos, which means verily, clean, indeed, of a truth. And we can compare that with what John said, that Jesus said in John 3:21, where it is your deeds that make you righteous. So I find it easy for me to make it sound sort of like this. So, if the Son makes you free, you will be free in deeds.
Okay,
it's Greek 3, G3689, ontos, O-N-T-O-S. You see, we don't take that seriously because we have been taught that no amount of deeds can ever remove our sin from us.
We have been taught that it's faith and faith alone.
It is faith and faith alone.
Faith and faith alone. Has nothing to do with what you believe or how you believe it. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, he came here to save you.
And so when you compare, and again, I mentioned at the beginning, the reason why people believe that is because the Old Testament's gone. We don't have to worry anything about the Old Testament.
We're not under that covenant.
We're not under that.
That's what they say. We're not under that covenant.
That's what they say. However, going just a little bit farther with this, we can go to Daniel 12:10, which confirms the idea that we are free in deeds. Okay? And it's, this says, for many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But they that are wise shall understand. Why will the wise understand? What will the wise understand?
So what is the definition of wickedness?
Doing wicked things.
No. It's much clearer than that, because what's wicked for you may not be what's wicked for me, and it's not wicked for your next door neighbor, and it's not
wicked
for your son.
Obedience to the words of God and the commandments.
Wickedness is hearing the truth and rejecting it.
Hey, that's right.
That is wickedness.
Yep.
Hearing the truth and rejecting it. Period. John chapter 12, starting with verse 37. Though they had been present when he gave so many signs, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Lord, who could believe what we have heard said, and to whom has the power of the Lord been revealed?" Indeed, they were unable to believe because, as Isaiah says again, he has blinded their eyes, he has hardened their heart, for fear they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn to me for healing. Isaiah said this when he saw his glory, and his words referred to Jesus. And yet there were many who did believe in him, even among the leading men. But they did not admit it, through fear of the Pharisees and fear of being expelled from the synagogue. They put honor from men before the honor that comes from God. Jesus declared publicly, "Whoever believes in me," and we could say, "Whoever has faith in me, believes not in me, but in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees the one who sent me. I, the light, have come into the world so that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore." When is the only time you need faith? Is when you are in the dark. When you can't see anything. When nothing is clear. Nothing is defined. Nothing is visible. So you have to have faith because you're in the dark. But here he says, whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them faithfully, it is not I who shall condemn him. It is not I who shall condemn him, since I have come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and refuses my words has his judge already. The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day.
Good. Could you give us that John text again? You just read from
chapter 12,
verse
chapter 12, the whole chapter. This is 37 to the end. This last one, the word itself, is verse 48.
And Dennis, could you again give us that the definition for G3689? Ontos means, what were the words there? Verily?
Truth. Verity or verily.
Yeah. Truth.
This is absolute. That's what it's saying.
Yes.
You need to listen because what I'm telling you is absolute. This is what you need to know to be saved.
Right. And also it means indeed. As a word.
The word.
Indeed.
Indeeds, I think is what you
mean. Yeah.
The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. This is individual. When he says his, he's not saying it's only the males. What he's saying is that the word that I have spoken is available to each individual. And to those who are alive at the last day, if my words are not in their intellect, they will be judged and found guilty. The last day. He's not talking about here when he's on earth. He's not talking about the last day when he gave up his life. He's not talking about the last day when they laid him in the tomb. He's talking about the last day when he returns. When he comes back to this earth, what is he looking for? Who is he looking for? The what is the truth. The who is who has it. That's it. He's looking for the truth. And he's looking for those who have it. He's not looking for faith. And he is not looking for those who believe that they are saved by grace and have an intellect full of lies.
To put this in a mathematical concept, truth and faith are inversely proportional. The more faith you have, the less truth you need. The more truth you have, the less faith you need. And my question to people is this: when Jesus was here on this earth, did Jesus live by faith? And you would be surprised at the answers, especially from where I work. I have a lot of pastors that come in and use our services. Their first reaction is, yes, of course, Jesus lived by faith. And then my question, follow-on comment is, if Jesus lived by faith, he was not the Son of God.
And he had to be living in darkness.
He had to be living in darkness. And that, I mean, it stops them in their track. In fact, I've had...
But how can the light live in darkness?
Oh, it can't. It can't. And it's like that yin and yang symbol where you have a swirl of light with a little point of darkness in it and a swirl of darkness with a little point of light in it. This is...
Joining the opposites.
Joining of the opposites, which people say is what when you put your hands
balance.
Together. But it's balance. And this is one of the things that Satan, we believe, told the angels in heaven before the fall. Look, we have to be balanced. God is the God of light. We absolutely have to have a God of darkness in order to balance things out.
Yeah, God is not going to put light on one side of the balances and darkness on the other side of the balances to see if it balances.
Dennis, very quickly.
Yes.
You said we are not looking for faith. And what was the other thing?
Oh, well, I just said faith and truth are inversely proportional.
Before that, you used another word. He's coming to those who have truth, who have it. He is not looking for faith, and there was another thing.
Well, that was something Rick said.
What is it?
With lies in their intellect. With lies, their intellect is the heart. Those who have faith hope in his return. Those who have truth
trust his
in
return.
His return. And there is a difference between hope and trust. Verses 49 and 50, John chapter 12.
Oh, and by the way, this next thing is absolutely critical to understanding why Jesus had to come to this earth.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
For what I have spoken does not come from myself. No. What I was to say, what I had to speak, was commanded by the Father who sent me. And I know that his commands mean eternal life. And therefore, what the Father has told me is what I speak. Now, for those who say that his teaching, his words, his preaching, what he was saying to the Jews was only meant for the Jews, and after the resurrection, we have a whole different covenant, we have a whole different reality, it's grace now and not works, then I guess he was at the very least misleading us when he said that the word that I am saying, and he says, I got it from the Father sent me to here to say it, and he says, those who have the words that I have been saying here in public, those who have my words in them at the last day, they are going to be the ones judged righteous. Not the ones who have faith that I'm going to show up and yet have not bothered to figure out what the truth is and learn the truth, have not completed the sanctification process.
Rick, what would have happened had the Father decided to come and do this on his own? I mean, the Father would have come to earth, and what would have happened? The earth would have been destroyed right then, because power and the visage of no one can look on the Father and live if they are unrighteous. And with an unrighteous world, if God had decided, oh, I'm going to do this on my own, we would not be here. We would be dead. He needed a human being who was divine in order to come so that people would have a choice.
He needed a human being who would live a righteous life and meet all the demands of righteousness. That's what the man and the woman in the garden were supposed to do. They were supposed to meet the demands of righteousness, which for them was to obey God by not eating from that tree. So, what is his plan? We are in the last day. We're there. I have no doubt we are there. The world had come to a crossroads back in 2015, 2016. A crossroads. They could continue on the road that had been chosen by the leadership, the cabal, if you will. They had a plan, a 16-year plan, to enslave the masses. They wanted to put to death 90% of the population of Earth, and the 10% that would left would be slaves to serve the cabal, who were operating under the direct direct orders from the evil one, the same evil one that has been here all along. Satan, the devil, the ancient serpent. In 2016, the people of the country of the United States of America chose what course they wanted to take. There was a very clear and distinct choice to be made between two completely different realities. One, the one that was supposed to win because the fix was in, would be the reality of 90% of the people of Earth being executed, and 10% would be the slaves of the elite. The other was make America great again.
And it is my humble opinion that the founders saved our lives
with the Constitution,
with the Electoral College. Yes. They saved our lives.
With a lot of things.
With a lot of things.
Actually, they had some. They had to have some divine
direction. They had to have some divine direction, right.
And the cabal did not give up. They've been trying ever since then to change the result of that and to get the world, to get this country and the world once again firmly on the path to destruction. But their latest and last attempt to accomplish this has fizzled.
Miserably fizzled. Missed it.
And it looks almost certain, if not certain, that the president will be reelected, and we will then, well, actually, it will be before that, I believe. We will know what the information contained in what John calls the seven thunders in Revelation 10 said. I believe that the information in Revelation 10 tells us about the reality that we will have because we did not choose to go down into fascism, socialism, and serve evil dictators. The rest of the world is also waking up, and it looks like they are abandoning their slave masters and choosing peace and prosperity. What I believe does not make it a fact. What I believe may not be realized, but I think there's a very, very good proof that this is what is happening, and it has been given to us in prophecy.
Well, Rick, that was amazing. I think it is apparent that God is working here in this world, and that what he is doing is making the attempt through various means to wake people up to the fact that they have believed a lie. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a good day. We encourage you to join us tomorrow for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Please go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around.
So we'll see you all tomorrow. Have a great day.